Did we finish Aleph, the first section there, the notes that were passed out last week? I think we're to start with B. All right, letter B. Now we have parallels here in this. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." Those who, and we talk about the idea of being blameless. One of the things that we need to strive to do, and you can't. Perception is the reality that we have to deal with as far as what people think of us. We can do everything possible to make sure that we are above reproach. We can say the right thing. We can do the right thing. And there's always going to be somebody that's going to take it wrong. And you're never going to satisfy everybody all the time. I think Lincoln said something about that. But as much as possible, the Lord says, or the Scripture says, as much as lieth in you, we are to be blameless. And here in our Old Testament context, it's the idea of walking in accord with God's law. God knows our hearts. God knows our motives. God knows our desires. And so we need to make sure that we are people of integrity, that we keep our word, that we are not hypocrites, that we follow through, we practice what we preach, we do what we say, we keep our word, we keep our promises. And to do those things, it is imperative. Most of you have probably had opportunities to share the gospel with somebody, and they may even interrupt you and say, "Don't be talking to me about this, because," and they'll talk about an experience they had, somebody they knew. And it all comes back to that hypocrite. And you can tell them that odds are that that person who is an outstanding hypocrite, when you land in hell yourself, when you reach out to find something to grab onto, that'll be the person you grab. As Evangelist Glenn Shunk said many years ago, the hypocrite is somebody who's probably playing games for the most part. All of us stumble, but somebody who is who's living that life is. Lord said, talked about, it were better for them than a millstone were cast, tied around their neck and they were cast into the sea. So, to be people of integrity, to be people who are undefiled, who walk in the way of the Lord, and, we need to operate biblically. We are tied to our culture to some extent. There have been various people who, Christian groups and so on. Some of them preaching the gospel. A lot of them preaching the gospel. Who want to become so biblically oriented and totally separated from the culture that they end up having a uniform. They're scattered around the country. There's actually 250,000 Amish people now. They have big families. There's a lot more of them than there used to be. And if you have traveled in parts of, I guess we have a few pockets of them here in Washington, but if you've traveled in Indiana or, central Michigan or Pennsylvania or any number of places, you'll see the carriage, and then you might be in the store and, yep, there's that. They have a uniform. And the idea is, I don't want to be, because to dress stylishly is to be worldly. And I'm not going to argue that point with them necessarily, although I think that they have missed the point to some extent. But we need to operate biblically. I asked somebody one time who was going to a Messianic congregation, and they were determined to eat kosher and worship on Saturday and so forth. And I said, "So why are you doing that?" And I said, "Because Jesus did." I said, "You're not wearing a robe and sandals. I don't see your phylacteries. There's a lot of things that Jesus, you're not walking on water, feeding the multitudes. There's a lot of things that Jesus did, but we do not have to comply with first century Jewish culture, or as we hear here in the Psalms, 1000 BC Jewish culture. We need to be blameless, and we need to be walking in accord with God's word as far as our behavior is concerned. Verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies." I need to be observing God's word. And if I'm going to be observing God's word, that means I need to know it. I need to know it. As a new believer, I just remember having a passion, a hunger for God's word and wanting to find out all kinds of things. Something would come up. What do? I don't know. And I'd go talk to somebody and they'd show me what God's word has to say, or I'd scrounge around and try to find out the answers myself. It's always very helpful to have some folks that you can go to for answers. And these days, we can have, something as close as an email or a text or a phone call. Yes, some people still use phones to actually talk to people. To find out the answers from God's word, to observe his testimonies, to seek him with all of our heart, it says there in verse 2. What is our desire? Do we do things because it has become routine? Do we do things because it's an expectation? Or do we do things from a desire of heart? A desire of heart. Love should be the determining fact. Not love is a decision, but love is also a great motivator. And if we are doing things simply out of duty and responsibility, that's not enough. We need to do it with a desire of heart, with a whole heart, and to seek God with a whole heart. Verse 3, they do know iniquity. And we talked about folks being blameless, I think, last time. That should be our goal. That no one can point a finger and say, well, you said this, or I saw you do this, or whatever the case may be. We need to strive to be above reproach and understand that we can't do that in the power of the flesh either. We have to be, as we're going to talk about this in the morning service a little bit, that if we're going to do anything for God, we have to be empowered by God to do it. And again, walking in God's ways. Almost all, I think it's all, but I think 5 or 6 verses of this lengthy psalm mention in some way, shape, or form God's word. To walk in his ways, okay, in accord with God's word. And coming back to the idea of living biblically, let's look at some categories. Because we have a tendency to divide our lives into the secular and the sacred. That in this particular area over here, I have to operate in a Christian manner, but over here, I don't have to. And I want you to understand that your faith, your walk with God, is a whole life thing. All that you do is service for God. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything I do can be done with God in mind. How do I honor and glorify God in what I'm doing today? Lord, give me opportunities. May I seek, see, and seize the opportunities you may afford me to honor you, to minister to the needs of others. We need to operate biblically. And I gave, there's several categories here. Number one, business. In business. But my competitors are lying and cheating and stealing and slandering and that doesn't mean you should. We have a God who's in control. God can meet your needs. And, in business, we need to be above reproach. In politics, that is a tricky thing. How do you be above reproach? How do you be honest and forthright in politics? My wife and I have a friend who's is he still a city attorney? City attorney in another state. And it's a decent sized town. If I were to mention the name of the town, you're familiar with it, most of you. And, he had a desire to go into politics. I mean, you know, I want to run for office and I want to become maybe a state representative or at least in the state house or something like that, and then see where that goes. And that was his goal. He got his degree in political science, and then he went and got a law degree, because that's what you do if you're going to be doing this. And so he started the process, and he got so disgusted by what he saw in the political machinery that he just got kind of fed up with it. He moved to a very conservative state to try to help that a little bit, but even then, it's a great struggle because people lie, cheat, and steal in politics. They will do whatever it is, whatever they deem necessary to gain power. And this is one of the reasons why, historically, you see very few Christians get very far in politics. Pray for Vice President Pence. He is a light. He is above reproach. Have you noticed that the news media leaves him alone? There's no dirt that they've been able to find. And trust me, they're looking. The man has a decent testimony. He's a believer. Pray for this man that he would continue to be above reproach, that the enemy would not find things on him, and that no lies would gain traction, and that he would be a very positive influence in those about him. Business, politics, education. What was that thing? The documentary film about people being unable to get degrees if they were creationists and so on. Expelled. That in American education, if you go to a secular school, public or private, and if you have in certain fields, and you claim to hold to a biblical view of, for example, creation, it doesn't matter how well you do in your studies. It does not matter how well reasoned your doctoral dissertation is. Even if your dissertation has nothing to do with creation evolution, very often they will refuse to grant you the degree that you have worked for and done all the work for because of what you believe. You can lose your job in some of these fields. Some fella actually found some collagen, some unfossilized protein in a triceratops horn. Triceratops, you know, the big dinosaur has got these things. That thing is supposed to be 70 million years old. There's not supposed to be collagen there. I mean, collagen is long, 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 long gone. And there was a fair bit there. And the guy wrote a paper on it, and he submitted it, and his bosses went crazy because that's not supposed to be public. We can't let the enemy know about that. And he was fired. And he went to court, and he was reinstated. But the fact is that there's a great deal of hostility. To do what is right in our world can be costly. It can be costly. But we need to be willing to do what is right, even if it is costly. There's a dear brother that I have prayed for many years, and he is in a difficult situation. And one of the things I pray for him, as I pray for him every week, is that he would do what is right, even if it costs him. And we need to have that same mindset, that we're going to do what's right. So business, politics, education, all the things that we, to some extent, have to deal with. Arts, entertainment, and music. Now, here's choices. Here's choices that we make. We need to strive to be above reproach in these things. That I need to make sure that I operate biblically in all these things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I think it is, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then Paul says in the very next verse, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I'm a good example, he says. Do what I do. I practice what I preach. I gave you the criteria there in verse 8. I follow it, and therefore you can follow my example. Folks, if you have a particular love of entertainment, particular form of art, music, whatever it is, and it can't go through the filter of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, I don't care how much you love it. I don't listen to the music that I grew up with. I don't listen to the music that my flesh likes and enjoys. It doesn't have to be sacred per se, but we need to be discerning in our arts, entertainment, and music, and then dealing with other people in our community, marriage, and family. One of the things that we really struggle with is we can make sure that I'm going here, and I'm going to be dealing with these people. All right, I'm good, and I'm there. Let's say you have to go to a party, or you're going to a wedding, or some kind of a get together, and you're there for 3 hours, and then you get in the car and you go, "I made it." We live at home. We deal with spouses and children and parents all the time. And to strive to live what is right before them, that's the greatest challenge. The other ones are pretty simple compared to number three. And, cause these are the people who know us the best. And so it's not a matter of being able to gain enough gumption to do what I'm supposed to do for a window of time. I need to be on 24/7. Our lives are to be lived for the glory of God 24/7. We are to be on 24/7. I can't put on my Christian face and my Christian character and my Christian attitude and use my Christian language when I'm around this group of people for this window of time, and then I can go, now I can be myself. Myself, as wicked and disgusting as it may be, ought to be, to some extent, sanctified and empowered by the Spirit of God so that I can be and do what I'm supposed to do and be. If God tells us to be this way, He will give us the enablement to be that way. Remember, the only things that can be accomplished for God are the things that are accomplished with God. Because to say I can't is really true in a lot of ways. But by the power of God, you can. And I don't care what your background is or what your temperament is or anything else, you can do what you're supposed to do for the glory of God. Verse 4, and then we'll wrap it up. Verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. I need to stay on top of this. This is not some lofty ideal that's out there and I know about. This is something that I am supposed to be doing, and it is an expectation for God's children to live this way. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts, and not just in a general idea, he says, diligently. We are to do it conscientiously. We are to do this. We're to keep an eye on this. We are to make sure that we're careful with this. It's not a slipshod thing. This should be something that we are very careful about. You know, I know some people are just sort of, they're slipshod in their approach to everything. And there's other folks that compartmentalize. They're really diligent in the things that really matter to them, and other things they get by. When it comes to our walk with God and our representation of Him before the world, we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent in keeping God's Word. Which means we need to know God's Word in the first place. Getting back to the things that we were looking at earlier in the psalm, we need to know God's word. What does God expect of me? What do I do under these circumstances? You need to know what you're going to do before the situation arises. Because God has instructions. Something comes up. Man, I don't know what to do. How do I handle this situation? Well, if God's word talks about it, and He usually does, we've got the answers. And it's best to know them in advance rather than, because otherwise temptation comes along and we're not sure, and so we end up doing the wrong thing. We need to make sure that we know what we're supposed to do before the situation arises. It's a very, very helpful thing to have that down. All right. We'll pick up again on verse 5. So Roman numeral 3. Needy, you got that? All right. And then I've got the notes for the next one as well, and we'll pick that up next time. All right. Any additional thoughts or ideas on what we've talked about this morning? All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank You that You have given us instruction. And Father, thank You most of all that You have given us the Spirit of God, if we indeed are Yours. You have given us the Spirit of God to that we can do what You've told us to do. As Your children, we can do what You have told us to do. And Father, I pray that we would yield our hearts to you, that we would be empowered, that we'd be able to live lives that would honor and glorify you. Father, empower us and may you work through us. Father, may we be tools in your hands to glorify yourself. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.